Golf. Hello, Wes. Okay. That's right. Well, Lord, we just pray that you'll bless tonight. Thank you for these hungry people who want to follow you and serve you and be more like you. That's all of us, Lord. So bless this teaching and our time together, and bless the meeting that's to follow, that you'll just pour out your spirit upon us. And everybody said, amen. What's that? Yeah. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We have three chapters out of the book of Kingdom Principles. So last week, we covered Kingdom Principles. So if you read through the book, you're going to get, that's exactly where I teach from. And tonight, we're going to cover salvation. We'll touch on water baptism, since we've already really taught that. And then baptism in the Holy Spirit. So, salvation. And I'm going to read through scriptures. If you have a question, you got to stop me, because I'm on a mission to get this done. So sometimes myopic teaching is not the best. So don't let me miss something. Jen, I am so glad you came to keep Beth in line. We were getting worried there. All right, moving right along before Beth kills me. better you than me, Jen. No, I mean, okay. All right, so salvation. It's real simple. Jesus said himself, and he's the expert and the teacher. Most assuredly, this is John 3:3. I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I don't know. I just never realized. I know we have to be born again, and most of you probably also know that. But he said the reason to be born again, and I hadn't really thought of it quite this way. I thought it so you could be saved and not go to hell, and that is a good fruit. But he really said, he didn't mention Hades or the kingdom of darkness. He said, if you're not born again, you can't see the kingdom. Shoot. I forgave you, Robert. That's okay. Which, that you have to be born again?
What if it's a 2-3-year-old little child that tragically something happens to, and they haven't had the knowledge and experience and so on and so forth, to be born again, to know Jesus, to?
The Jewish people taught that you had to come to an age of accountability. And that was usually about 12 years. And that until that time, you were somewhat, how shall I say it, protected by the faith of your parents. That's not to say that a person doesn't have to make their own decision, but they have to develop and have the mental capacity to do so. Then other people have asked, what about the heathen in Africa or wherever, or now it would be the, what is it, 1840 window? No, it's not 18. Anyway, it's the Mideast area where there's almost no evangelism, and it's probably got 90% of the world's lost that have never, I mean, never heard the gospel. And so Romans says that creation testifies, and that it speaks of the glory of God. And for a hungry soul, that creation could speak. There have been countless testimonies of people where God appeared to them. I remember reading one. I'm thinking it was Samuel. What was his name? Jane, what was the guy out of Indiana, Samuel, from Africa, who had the Lord appear to him? Do you remember that book? That means no. that blank's there. Sorry. it was like Samuel Taylor or something of that. And in his from his village, he was outside. I think there were some different things going on, and basically, the Lord appeared to him on the cross, and he got born again. Yes. I guess what I really feel is, and I would say this, there were different children who were at different stages. I don't know that 12 is like, that satisfies God forever, because I've seen some children who know more about being born again at 5 than I knew when I was 18, unfortunately. Yeah, and you have to kind of look at it, but I do believe in that. I guess that's a way to say it, that the parents are kind of the preacher. And I believe you can see that you can see children respond usually, I mean, as far as to what their parents are teaching. And I have to say, even though I rejected a lot of what my father, was neither a teacher and for most of my life wasn't born again, those things stayed with me. They were forgotten. But when the Holy Spirit touched me and I gave my heart to the Lord, a lot of those things came back to me. So salvation, got to be born again. And so here's the other thing, and this is so contrary, especially to those of us who are Americans. Oh, that's all of us. It's totally by grace. In America, and for a nation, this is fine. You pull yourself up by the bootstraps and make something of yourself. You can do anything you want to do if you set your mind to it. First of all, I don't think that's totally true even in America. But I will say for sure, it is totally untrue. Looking good. Totally untrue with the gospel. The scripture says, well, we sing it. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. But we can choose and receive it. Now, let me say one other thing about being saved. And the thing I want you to remember is there's no box here. When I got saved, the second time, because I left the Lord after a while after my first time I was born again. When I got saved the second time, no Christian ministered to me or to my wife at that time. There were 4 unbelievers, and we ended up praying for my best friend, 4 unbelievers with not much experience about faith or the Lord. In the middle of the prayer, which was on my engagement night of my first marriage, my fiance got convicted, gave her heart to the Lord. And then I had made this declaration to my sister Elaine, who had been ministering to me, that I was not going to mess up my life by adding Jesus. Because I was selfish. Things were going good. I was getting married. I didn't want to take a chance of blowing that. So I said, I will not make a step until she does. And when she did, I never thought anything about it but the Holy Spirit. And I'm having this conversation, and I'm not really that fluent in communion at this point in my life. Said, that's it. I said, what? That's it. I knew it was the Lord. So I said, what are you talking about? She gave her heart to me. So, and the Holy Spirit said, you said if she'd take the first step, you would follow. In my great spirituality, I said, are you kidding me? I mean, I was like, I couldn't believe it. I had no faith. I didn't want to do it, but in the name of nobility and being a man of my word, I prayed this prayer that absolutely had no faith. In fact, if you could measure it, I'd say it might even not be at zero. It might be negative zero. Because I prayed, I can't be a Christian. I'm terrible at it. Well, those things were true. I just didn't know that was good to know that. And so I'm telling the Lord everything that I can't do. But since Cheryl made the first step, I'll do what I said I'd do. Now, did I get born again that day? I don't think so. But the Holy Spirit took me at my word. And at some point after that, the Holy Spirit filled my heart. Because to be born again, it's like that baby. Until they take that first breath, they're not alive. And I don't know when I took my first breath, but I can tell you this. He sealed me anyway. All right, so moving on quickly. Totally by grace. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved. Now, let me just say one thing. If you're trying to be saved, do yourself and everybody else a favor. Stop it. Just be real about where you are. Be real about what you want. Now, sometimes, like, let's say, I know this is hard to believe, but Jane makes me mad. And I have to admit, this is the real killer. That are making me mad. I'm getting used to that after 30-some years. But that I have to admit that I'm wrong, even though most of the time I am. Sometimes it is still, that was sweet, honey. that's right. Sometimes I would rather take a beating than admit that I was wrong and apologize. But I got to have that relationship. Got to have that relationship. And the good news is, it's not about me being right. Sometimes we as Christians forget this. If we're right, we're in the place of God. No, not necessarily. Truth is truth, yes. But if you know the truth, but you're killing people with it, that's not the will of God either. John 1:1, when Jesus came, it says he was full of grace and, which came first? If you want to be like Jesus, have a foundation of grace so that when you have to minister truth, and sometimes truth will cut against your lifestyle. And if it hasn't, just stay tuned. It's coming. And so what do? You pray for the grace to walk in the truth. So, for by grace you're saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Anyone who's been saved, it wasn't because we were noble. It wasn't because we had the right motivations. Sometimes that was part of it. The actual first time I got saved, I went to the church I grew up in, which there was almost no anointing. And I say almost no anointing just to be kind and give some room that maybe there was and I just missed it that day or something. Because I didn't know until I was 16 and this group came in that Jesus had died for me, and we were at church every day the door opened. My mom didn't miss. And so I went that night because we had this youth group coming from like our denominational Bible college. And I really wanted to check them out to see what they looked like. They were young, somebody different. Honestly, I wanted to check out to see what the girls look like. And, of course, meet the guys, too. But that totally wrong motivation, these people were different. And I fell in love with all of them because they were great to be around and encouraging. And I hadn't seen youth like that very often in my life. And that a campfire that they led that week, I, for the first time at 16 years old in my life, realized Jesus, he died for me. He went to the cross for me. He loved me. It's a great testimony. Yeah. When we comes at different ages and times, but it was all of grace. Yes, Jan. Speak a little bit louder so everybody can hear you. I can, but. That was Jan on the line to God saying, are you sure this is okay? I went to the altar many times. Because depending on how you were reared, you could have been raised in such a way as we thought even though we were saved, we could fall off the earth into hell at any moment. So I kept getting saved because I didn't want to go to hell. But, so that was like an extreme grace. Then the extreme not grace is, you got saved at six, and then you're sealed for the rest of your life to heaven. Well, no, not necessarily. So the truth, I believe, lies somewhere in between that. But the main truth is, in the book of John, John, the apostle of love, the closest disciple to Jesus, said you can know that you have life. You can know. And a lot of churches at that time, or at least the church I grew up in, is probably the way to say it, they did not have that sense that you could know. It was always like you could be plucked up. I am so far from that. When I came back to Shekinah, I was twice dead and plucked up by the roots, physically, emotionally, spiritually. If I'd have died, I have no doubt I'd gone to hell. I mean, heaven. However, salvation is not the main purpose, because you won't see that Jesus teaches it, and I challenge you to show me. It's not to deliver us from hell. It's to birth us into the kingdom. And being birthed into the kingdom, we stomp on hell, and we get a far ways away from that. Romans 3:23. Why do we have to be saved? Take Wilmer. Seems like since I've known him, he's a pretty good guy. Becky, don't tell me any different. I want to believe it that way. But I know this about Wilmer or about Pauletta, who's my big bud. They needed the Lord just as much as I did, because every person ever born or created, the scripture says, have sinned, have missed the mark, have blown it, have rebelled, however you want to describe it. And we need God. And plus, we were born in sin because the head of the human race, Adam, chose to have knowledge rather than life. So that's why I think we're going into this information age. That's the way of the flesh. But in the spirit, we go the way of life. Now, it doesn't mean to be spiritual you have to be stupid. I don't believe that either. I like to read. I like to read things. I get into to articles and different things. But it's not what I know that saves me. It's who I know and the life he lives in me. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And we all get that paycheck. Apart from Jesus. But the gift of God, hear that? Salvation, gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven. What name? Jesus. No other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And then Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. All right. So, salvation's of grace. Second, completely by faith. Now, you say, you mean I didn't have to come to class tonight? I'm saved? I hate to tell you that because it could affect my attendance, but it's true. Your coming to this class doesn't help your salvation whatsoever, but it will help your godliness. It helps my heart. And any time the word is being taught, when I teach, if the Holy Spirit does nothing with it, it's still profitable. But my trust is that when I teach under the anointing, the power of the Holy Spirit, that words I say that are just words until he pricks your heart with it and you think, oh, that's how it works. Or, oh, I didn't mean to do that, Lord. I didn't know that's what that meant. We got to have faith. And here's what faith is. I used to get so hung up on faith because, and people have been here long enough, they know this is true. I used to be one of the most depressed people there were. Oh, when I was high, I was flying. And when I was low, they were trying to pull me out of the cave that I was in. It was pretty dark, pretty black. And then I just said, if it's about faith, I'm lost. Because I didn't have it. Best place to be. Because it's a gift as well. Faith is simply believing what God says. So he says, you must be born again. Ooh, I can do this. Dale, I must be born again. You too. Believe what he says, and what he has said is in his word. Now, there's two ways to hear the word. Probably more, but there's the word that's being taught or preached, and that's great. And that alone can take you to awesome places. But now let me tell you the most awesome, fun, fabulous, crazy way, transforming way to receive the word. Get in it yourself. If you all could be a fly on the wall, in our downstairs, I've got a big man cave, and there's a small bathroom and our laundry drying it, and then a bedroom where Jane has been sleeping so she doesn't have to go up and down the steps because we have like a 14 stairs. Thank you, hon. And how many inches of stairs? Oh, no, that's okay. So it'll be 2 o'clock in the morning. That sounds too spiritual. Let's move it back up. 9:30. I'm studying the word. And then the Holy Spirit gives me revelation, like the word comes alive and I see a concept. Now, my dogs are used to this. Jane is not. I'll start screaming. And I mean screaming, and as you all well know, I'm not exactly the quiet person in my family. Woo! Oh, you've got to be kidding me, Lord. I never saw that. Or I might be worshiping to some music. And the Holy Spirit quickens the line. Well, I start dancing. And now my dogs, one of them, he's the most aloof dog you'll ever see. He just looks at me, rolls his eyes, and doesn't move. But my other dog, he kind of dances with me. And he's taught David's dog to do the same, which is good because Jane had a dog that would resist prayer. At least ours participate. And so I'll be praying, and they'll kind of dance with me. They'll check me out. But there's nothing. Then there's nothing like it because several times I will come into the service and the thing I've been studying in the Word, pastor will preach a segment of it. And you talking about a confirmation, if you haven't experienced that, please don't cheat yourselves. You can receive a prophetic word, and we'll probably have at some point a prophet or prophets in. And Prophet Victor out of Africa, he can tell you his name and never met you. He's done it before. I've watched him do it. We had a presbytery where we had like two or three prophets come in and they prayed over the congregation and would really tell you things that were phenomenal. That's a prophetic word, and it is outstanding. But nothing beats the proceeding word, which is what you get when you're before the Lord and he pulls something out of the word that comes alive. Or sometimes he'll speak a phrase. He'll speak a phrase. And three words spoken by God. One of them, I'll give you one that just came to me. Thank you for helping me, Holy Spirit. I was reading the word. It was about the Holy Spirit. And Peter said, "This is that." And that phrase blew up. And so I'm singing all these songs. "This is that." I'm doing it to rock. Or then I got a little tired and I go to a little blue. "This is that." But I was just taken. So I'm singing. Or I do country and western. "This ain't that, but this is." Here's all I'm saying. You got to be crazy to walk with God, because he's going to lift you out of the boring, the mundane. And you don't have to respond like I do. God help us all if you do. Yes. Signs and wonders. Thank you, Lord. All right. So, Jesus said, you got to receive this by faith. Now, that day I told you that I got saved and there was really no faith involved. But somehow I kept pursuing. I don't even know if you'd call it pursuing. But the Lord took control of my heart. Because he will take the most ridiculous little unfaith-filled effort. And if he blows on you, you live. You live. Okay, water baptism. Most of you are here for the teaching. I won't do much on it. Other than to say, it's a step that follows after salvation. Does that mean everybody has to be baptized to go to heaven? No. It just means that if you're a disciple and you're not translated before the Lord comes back, or like the thief on the cross, Jesus said, today you're going to be in paradise with me. I doubt he got water baptized. So we have to be careful, though these are values and these are truths. The Lord is a living person, and he's not a lawgiver. Well, the law came from him. But his purpose in the law is not so that we could justify ourselves. It was to drive us to him, because he knew we couldn't justify ourselves. Paul said, the law was a schoolmaster to teach me about Christ. So, the main scripture for water baptism, Colossians 2, 11 through 13. I'll read that and then we're going to move on to the Holy Spirit. In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Jesus Christ. Now, what Paul is saying here, if you look at what circumcision was to the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, water baptism is to us as new believers of the new covenant, in which you are risen with him through the faith of the working of God, who has raised him from the dead, and you, me, those of us who are baptized, there's a faith in this. Being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So when we had this baptism, I love it every time. I flash back. Now, here's a good time to have a flashback. I flash back to when I was out the lake, when whoever helped the pastor, because she was in the water, and they baptized me. There wasn't anything particularly miraculous that happened. It just was awesome. It just was awesome. Romans 6, 3 and 5, it says that if you were baptized into Jesus Christ, that's how we identify with his death. Coming up out of those waters is how we identify with his resurrection. And so as Jesus was raised from the dead, his resurrection was his was kind of like a spiritual baptism, even though Jesus himself submitted to baptism. So here's another thing. If you haven't been baptized and you say, why is it necessary? Well, if Jesus is an example and he got baptized, let's make it simple. I think we probably want to be baptized. So he was raised up in newness of life. And then it says that we also shall be raised up in newness of life and dead to sins. All right. Let's close out with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. In this church, one of our cardinal beliefs, strong doctrines, and doctrine is good. You have to have doctrine. As long as you don't get legalistic. Anything you get legalistic about, that kills the life. So it can be something of the Spirit, but if you get legalistic about it, it kills it. Should you come to prayer meetings? Yes. But if you don't come, you won't be a member in good standing. That'll kill it. And the person. We believe in being baptized in the Holy Spirit, that it's part of the walk of faith. So we start in that walk by being saved and being born again. So being born again, Jesus already told us, this is a new life. Then, to celebrate the new life and to make a public testimony, we get water baptized. And when you're baptized, you're making a statement to the world, done with you, alive to Christ. And in nations overseas, they're not worried about you if you're a Christian, but you haven't been baptized. But once you get baptized, that's the testimony. You're on the other team. And usually, that's when great persecution starts, unless there's a somewhat liberty in that nation. So, again, I think that's a confirmation about water baptism. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, here's what Peter said. Full of the Holy Ghost, after the most miraculous outpouring of the Holy Spirit ever identified in history. And Peter said, repent and be baptized. Now, if you think, yeah, I'll smoke a little weed and it'll calm me down, and then I'll get into the Holy Spirit, maybe have a little bit of a beer to chase down while I'm reading. That's why Peter starts, repent and be baptized. And again, I'm not making a doctrine about drinking, not drinking. Not my case. But to walk with the Holy Spirit, he's tender, he's sensitive in a good way. And don't let him fool you. If you want to wrestle, he can take you down. Ask Jacob in the Old Testament, who after wrestling with him, limped for the rest of his life. It happened, friends. I wish that was a vision, but it was actually part of Jacob's history. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Most everything that we receive as believers, and I'm just trying not to be exaggerating, is a gift. The place I know where the Lord calls us to pay a price, He does ask us to die to self and walk out with Him, but that's about a relationship with Him, and He'll help walk you through that. But if you are in ministry, then, though we have to function by grace, ministry is hard work. Now, it doesn't make me closer to God. But last Friday, just was one of those days, I worked 13 hours. I didn't eat lunch. I didn't have time. And let me be honest, I loved every bit of it. I sure am not complaining. But when I went home that night, I was done. Crispy. Because ministry's hard work. And it involves paying prices so that others can live. It's not that you can redeem anyone. And as a counselor, I was trained, the first truth of helping others is realizing that you can help no one. The only person you can help is the person who's willing to help themselves. And that starts with me, you. Acts 2 details the miraculous outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is not a Christian fairy tale. This is history. And get this, this still blows me away. Before Jesus ascends to heaven, He's done all these great works. And He says, now I've got one thing I need you to do. Whew. All right. You want me to go pray for Terry Akins? No, not yet. Oh, you want me to check out Matt and see how he's doing? Oh, at some point, but not yet. Oh, you want me to make sure that Kim is behaving herself? No, you're not ready for that yet, for sure. I just had to make sure she was listening, you know. No, it's about knowing that the Lord doesn't give you discernment and speak to you. You can't help anybody. I was with somebody the other day. Yeah, I remember who it is now. They're telling me their story. And it was pretty, some of it was pretty horrid. And I'm saying to the Lord, what do you want me to say to this person? What do you want me to do? I didn't get an answer for a long time, which I've learned that means shut up and listen. But I'm asking the Lord. I have failed so in my own perception as being a father, though I'm crazy about my son, but I've failed him many more times than I ever wish, to where in days we were having great conflict, I wouldn't say anything. I would just beg the Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. Help me. He answers those prayers because there was no gang going on. I know if He didn't help me, my fathering techniques would hurt my son. And not just hurt him toward me, but hurt him toward the kingdom. Because Jane and I didn't adopt him so that he'd be a part of the world. We adopted him to see him made whole. And he's on the path. But it's not greased like I would like it to be. And it's easy to walk as I wish. So, why the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Okay, first of all, I'm going to go through these quickly. To obey God. Acts 1:4. And being assembled together with them, now this was with the disciples after He's resurrected, He commanded them. He didn't give them a suggestion. He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. If you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you are missing one tremendous rite of faith with a fabulous person. It's the promise of the Father, and it's why Jesus said, and this still blows me away, because have you all ever wished like you were, maybe not one of the disciples, I'd like to be somebody maybe more successful, but I'd have probably been one of the grouchy ones. But anyway, but that you could have been and seen Jesus heal people, or the guy who couldn't see his eyes healed, or the demoniac with the chains being peaceful and having rational conversation. But Jesus said, it's so important that I get out of here. Because me staying is not the answer if the Holy Spirit comes. He's with Carol Norrie when she was in school. Or me when I was at a Giro. Or Will when he's on the road traveling. Alive, well, and powerful. All right. Secondly, to have power to witness. In that same conversation with the disciples, Acts 1:8, you shall receive power and you shall be witnesses. And I think the Lord kind of... He will sometimes like burst my balloon, and that's a good thing. Because if you have power to witness, if you receive his power, you'll be an outstanding witness. That doesn't always mean that men will be saved, but if you look in the book of Acts, when they witnessed, miracles happened. The kingdom of God came near people because of the Holy Spirit's power. Thirdly, so the Holy Spirit can teach and guide us. I need to be taught all the time. And see, I've walked with the Lord now 40 plus years. And I don't mean this negative to me or the working of the Holy Spirit at all or anything like that. But I seem to need him more now than I ever did. And in some ways, I realize I'm dumber than I ever was. And I don't mean that as a cut. I just mean things I thought I knew. What you know doesn't necessarily set people free. It's what you live and the life you experience, because it's the tree of the knowledge of, excuse me, of eternal life, not the tree of knowledge. I appreciate information in the information age, but I need life. And from life, I need to learn how to think. And so he can teach and guide us. John 14:26. It says he's a comforter and he'll teach us all things. John 16:13 said he's the spirit of truth. You know the way I learn truth? He teaches me. And now he may use others, but he teaches me. And then 1 John, it says the anointing you receive from him abides in you. You don't need anyone teach you, but the same anointing teaches you concerning all things. What this is not saying is, oh, I've got the Holy Spirit, and no, Pastor Curran, I don't need to hear your sermon because the Holy Spirit's teaching me. He is. Yeah, that's what I do. I say no the same way. That's exactly what I do. No! I know it. And then the Lord shows me what I don't know, and just admit you don't know. It's a lot less painful. But when I get with, a perfect example is Don Watson and I try to get together. Now, I could enjoy being around Don just because of who Don is. But the real reason I like to be around him is because he's full of the Word. And we start sharing the Word. And every time we get together, it's like two crazy young men. Sometimes they look at us a little bit strange, but we don't care because we don't even know they're there. Why? Iron sharpening iron, and I'm learning from him by the Spirit. And it doesn't mean that you have to have all these times together. Sometimes... I remember there was a prayer meeting. I don't even remember exactly what was said, but I remember Carol said something, prayed something in this prayer meeting that the Lord had shown her, but it was an answer for me. What is it? That's the anointing teaching you. The anointing. All right. Finally, he seals us. Ephesians 1:13. In whom you've also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, I love God for this. He doesn't seal you with the Holy Spirit of depression. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. So what seals and keeps you is not the fear you're going to fall into hell. It's that the best is yet to come. The Holy Spirit of promise has sealed me, and I can't go back. I can't go back. Because, man, it's too good going forward. You know, I used to be an athlete, and that was many moons ago. And I'll be honest with you. I loved when I made a good play, and you hear all this child, roaring and cheering. It sounds like a glory hound. I agree. And I thought that was great until I came into the Lord's presence. That's like tinsel. Because the real glory is his. And he shares it. That's what blows me away. I'm part of his family. So I have glory that he's given me. So this word sealed, and this is what we'll close with. Sfradidzo. Try to say that three times quick. Sfradidzo. But here's what it means. To set a seal upon, to affix a signet ring or an embossing or by an embossing instrument. So it's not just a copy. It's not just something that's been drawn on there. It's been etched in, embossed, kind of like a tattoo on paper. Made for a legal signature. So in days, what they did for a legal signature, instead of having a notary, the highest thing was to have the seal of the king or of government. It guarantees that the promise or the contents of what you have has been sealed and is authentic. Now, I got a lot of problems. Anybody's been close friends with me? Please don't speak up now because that'd take too long. But this is what I can say. I'm authentic because I've been sealed. I'm authentic. I might be crazy, but it's crazy authentic. I might be ridiculous, but I'm ridiculously authentic. And I'm learning how to live. That's dangerous. And I'm having a blast at it because I've been sealed. Do you realize I've left this church, I think, three times? And the Lord keeps bringing me back. I think I'm about to get there and get, I'm supposed to be here. Okay. Authentic. To place beyond doubt or to attest to something that's true. That's what it means to be sealed. And just like we did with salvation, it's by faith. It's the same way you receive the Holy Spirit. So, I am going to stop at this point. If you want to take a quick break, please do. But you want to get ready because, who knows, the Holy Spirit may be into doing some sealing tonight. So, bless you. Glad everyone came. And we'll get started here in just a few minutes. But if you need to take a break, if you've been here since 6, please.